first reading is from the 47th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. Afterward, he returned me to the entrance of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. And from the forefront of the house to the east, the waters came down from under the right side of the house at the south of the altar. And he brought me out of the way of the gate northward, and turned me around the way outside the gate, outside by the way facing east. And behold, there ran waters from the right wing. And he said to me, "These waters went out toward the east boundary, and go down upon the desert, and they come toward the sea. To the sea they are brought out, and the waters shall be healed. And it shall be that every soul that is alive, which crawls whithersoever the brooks shall come, shall live. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither, for they shall be healed, and everything shall live within the brook that comes. And it shall be the fishers shall stand upon En-Gedi, even unto En-Gallim, and there shall be a place to spread forth nets, and their fish shall be according to their kinds, as the fish of the great sea, exceedingly many." Next we read from the Gospel of John after the Lord's resurrection, from the chapter 21. After these things, Jesus manifested himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and thus did he himself manifest himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples. And Simon Peter says to them, "I am going out to fish." And they say to him, "We also come with thee." And they went out, and straightway they went into a ship, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was already come, Jesus stood on the shore. However, the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus says to them, "Little children, have you something to eat?" They answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find." And they cast therefore, and now they had not strength to draw it for the multitude of fish. Then the disciple, whom Jesus loved, says, "It is the Lord." Then Simon Peter, hearing that it was the Lord, girded on his coat, for he was naked, and cast himself into the sea. But the other disciples came in a boat, for they were not far from land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net of fishes. And as soon as they came to the land, they saw a fire of coals laid, and little fish laid upon it, and bread. And Jesus says to them, "Bring of the little fish which thou have now caught." And Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of great fishes, 153. And though they were so many, the net was not ripped. And Jesus says to them, "Come and dine." And no one of the disciples dared ask him, "Who art thou?" knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then comes and takes the bread and gives them to them, and the little fish likewise. And the third time, already Jesus was manifested to his disciples, being risen from the dead. And when they had dined, Jesus says to Simon Peter, "Simon, Jonah, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" He says to him, "Yes, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He says to him, "Feed my lambs." And finally, from the book of Revelation in the 20th and 21st chapter, "And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell gave up the dead which were in them. And they were judged each according to their works. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the former heaven and the former earth were passed away, and the sea is no more." And we also read from the Apocalypse Explained 342. The significance of sea and fishes comes from the appearance in the spiritual world. All societies there appear surrounded by an atmosphere corresponding to their affections and thoughts. Those in the third heaven appear in an atmosphere pure as the ethereal atmosphere. Those in the second atmosphere in an atmosphere less pure, like that of air. While the societies in the lowest part of heaven appear surrounded by an atmosphere, as it were, of water. But those in the hells appear surrounded by a gross and impure atmospheres, some as if black waters and others in other ways. It is also from the appearance in the spiritual world that those who are in the affection and in thought therefrom are signified by the birds of the heaven, and those who are in natural affection and in thought therefrom by fishes. For both birds and fishes appear there, birds over the lands and fishes in the sea. The affections and consequent thoughts of those who are there so appear. This is known to all who are in that world, and both the birds and the fishes have been many times seen by me. This appearance is from correspondence. From this it can be seen why seas signify the generals of truth, and that whales and fishes the affections and thoughts of those who are in the generals of truth. And further we read from the Apocalypse Explained 513. From this, the meaning of fishermen, fishes, and nets is so often mentioned in the New Testament can be seen in the following passages. Jesus saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said to them, "Come you after me, and I will make you fishers of men." Jesus entered into Simon's boat and was teaching the multitude. After that, he told Simon to let out his nets for a draught. And they enclosed a great multitude of fishes so that the boats were filled in the danger of sinking. And amazement seized them all because of the draught of fishes. And he said to Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." In this also there is a spiritual sense like the rest of the word. The Lord's choosing these fishermen and saying that they should become fishers of men signified that they should gather to the church. The nets that they let out and in which they closed the great multitude of fishes so that the ships were in danger of sinking signifies the reformation of the church through them. For fishes here signify the knowledges of truth and good by means of which reformation is effected. Likewise, the multitude of men who were to be reformed. And finally, from the Apocalypse Explained, 513, subsection 17. The kingdom of heaven is like a net cast into the sea, bringing together every kind of fish, which, when it is full and drawn on the beach, and gathered the good into vessels, but the bad cast away. So it shall be at the consummation of the age. The separation of the good and the evil is here likened to a net cast into the sea, bringing together every kind of fish, for the reason that fishes signify natural men in respect to knowledges and cognitions. And in the consummation of the age, or at the time of the last judgment, such are separated from one another. For there are good natural men and bad natural men. The separation of these in the spiritual world has the appearance of a net or dragnet cast into the sea, bringing together the fish and drawing them to the shore. And this appearance is also from correspondence. This is why the Lord likens the kingdom of heaven to a net bringing together the fish. The separation of the good and the evil presents this appearance has been granted me to see. Amen. We are taught in the heavenly doctrines why it is that the Lord called fishermen to be his apostles, and why it is that he compared the teaching and gathering of men into his church, into the Christian church, to gathering them into a net, as it was he did after his resurrection, when his apostles gathered them together. The reason for this was that at the time that the Lord came into the world, there were no spiritual men. At that time, all men were natural. And as we saw from the reading in the heavenly doctrine, the natural heaven is like a sea, and the men of the natural heaven, or the natural, or natural thinking men, think in a way like fish, because they're underwater. They cannot breathe, as it were, the spiritual air, which represents the spirit. But instead, they get what little oxygen they can, you might say, from the water around them, the natural truths which they have. For they focus on things of the world. And even when they think of the afterlife, they think of a very worldly place. For such is the nature of the natural man. And yet the Lord didn't simply say, well, if they don't want to be spiritual, I will leave them alone. No, he sent fishermen to them. He sent his apostles, who were also, in a great way, fairly natural in their view of the spiritual world. And they taught his truth, the truth of the gospel. And by means of that truth, they were, as it were, drawn up out of the water in a net. And it says in the heavenly doctrine that those who are drawn up in a net can be compared to different kinds of fish. And those that can actually be in the air are compared to flying fish, whereas those that cannot stand but only in the natural are compared to mere fish. And this is as the Lord draws us up and we're able to see more and more spiritually, then we are able, as it were, to be drawn into spiritual things. And this net, as it draws us up, separates the good from the bad. For the net is the teachings of the Lord, the clear teachings of the Lord that we have to live a good life, that we have to believe in the Lord. And those that are good rejoice, as it were, at those statements, as it is said in the book of Habakkuk. They rejoice because they hear the truths of the Lord. And those who don't want anything spiritual, who don't want to change their life, but would rather live in the mere dark waters, as it's compared, they are like those who are unfortunately unable to accept the Lord and his advent. We read in the heavenly doctrine about the new heaven and the new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. And it is understood that the visible heaven and the habitable earth were not to perish, but that a new heaven and a new earth were to arise. The heaven here means the heaven where the angels are, and the earth, the church where men are. And these are to become new. Those who think merely naturally and sensually are not willing to admit and therefore do not understand. For they do not allow their mind to be elevated out of the natural light into spiritual light. With such, it is difficult, so much so that they can hardly bear the word should have any meaning beyond that which is in the letter and its own senses declares and the natural man apprehends. Such people are not unlike those birds that see and sing in dark places, but in the light of day blink with their eyes and see but little. The good among these are like these birds and are also like flying fishes. But the evil of this class are like night owls and horned owls, which altogether shun the light of day, or like fishes that cannot be elevated into the air without loss of life. For the reason is that with the good of this class, the internal spiritual man receives some little spiritual influx from heaven, consequently some perception that a thing is so, although they do not see it. While with the evil of this class, the internal spiritual man is entirely closed. And so it is that although men were merely natural, there were those in which there was something of goodness, the desire to see what the Lord taught and the desire to receive it. And here they're being compared to the good birds that can receive some light or to fish that can fly and actually live in the air. And there is such a transformation. And this is like fishing in that you bring the fish up. And in a way, we'd say, well, then the fish will die. But those that are willing to live are here compared to flying fish or to like birds. A transformation takes place when they see these fish. We see a little of this transformation in what the Lord taught. Here at first they're fishermen and they're fishing from the right side. And then at the end, the Lord speaks to Peter and asks if he loved him. And he responds, he does. And the Lord says, feed my lambs and later tend my sheep and feed my sheep. What's happening here is a transformation from something that's underwater, something that's merely natural, that something's alive. So in the beginning of the church, it says that those who are to teach the truth are like fishermen, because those whom they're teaching are in the natural and need to be brought out. But later, as the church develops in a man, he becomes more like a lamb. And then those who teach and feed are compared to shepherds. That is the transformation that needs to take place. And it is no different today than it was in the time of the Lord. And that is why when Swedenborg was asked why he was called, he replied, why did the Lord not call theologians, but fishermen? And then he compared himself to a spiritual fisherman. And he says that a spiritual fisherman is one who first teaches natural truths, but afterwards, spiritual truths rationally. And that is what the heavenly doctrines do. They teach us the truth in such a way, spiritual truths in such a way, that we, being natural men, can see illustrations in the natural world. And then rationally, even though we start off natural, rationally, we are then able to see the spiritual truth itself. But only through a gradual process, as he said, a spiritual fisherman, teaching us spiritual truths, but at first in a natural way. And so it is the Lord leads everyone. For little children see truths in a very natural way. And the Lord accommodates this with the Word. But the Word gradually opens up, and more truths are seen in the Word as someone grows. It's like a net. The truths are like a net that draws us in and can draw us upward. And then it will depend upon us as we get older, as we begin to see these truths that are within the Word, and especially as the heavenly doctrines reveal them to us, we have a choice. Are we going to adapt to the new atmosphere? Or are we going to suffocate? Are we going to be those good fish? Or are we going to be the bad fish that get cast away? It seems at first, when we think about this, that it seems that the fish end their life. But so it is with us. As we become spiritual, our natural life and our natural focus no longer is that important. And then we die and leave our body behind, we become spiritual men. And so there can be a transformation from one to the other, as it were, from a fish to a flying fish, or a bird that can fly with his wings. From being in mere natural thought to being in rational and spiritual thought. That is the kind of transformation we're given. And so we see when the Lord speaks of the second coming, he compares it with a net, as he did with the net being cast and drawn in. But he also says that the sea gave up its dead because men were natural. And the men that came up who had been merely natural were brought before the Lord on his throne to be judged. And those that were written in the book of life, that is those who lived according to the word, whose life was like the word, could be saved. And then it says, because of this, the former heaven and the former earth passed away. And there was a new heaven and a new earth. But it says there was no more sea. Because with the heavenly doctrine, we can be drawn up. The merely natural man has a chance to come out from merely thinking naturally and thinking spiritually. This is what it means when it says that we're drawn up in a net and the good are separated from the bad. We will be given this choice as we see these spiritual truths and how we come about them. But the story after the Lord's resurrection tells us something very, very important. And it's told to us in two different ways. One of which is the most obvious, is that they were fished all night and they caught nothing. And in the morning, which represents a different state, not a state of their own, but a state of the Lord appears to them on the shore. He says, little children, have you any food? To which they replied, no. And he says, to cast the net on the right side of the ship. And they would find, and they did, and they found a great multitude. We know from the heavenly doctrine that casting the net on the right side of the ship corresponds to doing this. It says that all things should be done from the good of love and charity. The right side signifying the good from which all things should be done. For so far as knowledges are derived from good, so far they live and are multiplied. Whereas laboring all the night and taking nothing signifies that if they do it from their self or one's own proprium, nothing comes, but that all things are from the Lord. And so we need to do this. If we're going to receive these truths, if we're going to share these truths with others, we need to do it from the right side. That is, from the good of love to the neighbor and the Lord. That means that we need to do it not for ourselves, but for others and for the Lord himself. Because when we do it from the right side, then these truths are no longer merely you might call intellectual knowledges that help us understand wonderful things, but instead they become living truths. They are transformed, as it were. This is also shown in the story by the fact of what they found the Lord doing. It says that the fish were on the fire. This signifies the knowledge of truth from good. The fish is the knowledge of truth and the fire good. And you'll notice that two different words for fish are used in this story. If the fish that were on the fire are called little fish. And the Lord said to them, when they brought in the fish, he says, bring to me the little fish. Even though they caught great fishes, why does it say little fish? Because it represents something of innocence, something of love. And we also see for the same reason, when the Lord spoke to his apostles, when they were on the ship, he said, little children, have you have any food? He appeals to us, to our innocence, our willingness to follow him, to listen to him for the sake of him, for the sake of our neighbor, for the sake of what is good, in many ways like a little child. In that way, we're able to receive the truths from love. And when we do this, then we can be transformed. Then, as a fish, when we're brought out of water, we are, as it says in the one number, like a flying fish, able, as it were, to transform and receive. And the church becomes something, instead of merely learning natural truths, as it is in the beginning, because we're natural people, instead it becomes something spiritual. It becomes something of the life. And that is why in the beginning, although there were fish in the sea, some were good and some were bad. And the difference was that, did they have that innocence? Did they have the love for knowing what is true for the sake of something besides themselves? It is that which will distinguish us. So although we may begin as merely natural men, and we all do, and so the heavenly doctrine lifts us up, that transformation can take place if we are willing to follow the Lord in that innocence, listen to those truths for the sake of our life, for the sake of changing what we do, but most of all, it says, from the good of love and charity, from loving the Lord and loving the neighbor, that they are our end in view. Then these truths will live, and we will live as well.